Should share and just what would be appropriate, and this particular verse kept coming back in my mind, and I think Solomon, he certainly saw it all. He lived it all. He experienced it all, and in his wisdom, he collected wise sayings, wise proverbs, and these proverbs are certainly the inspired word of God. They're inspired. They're preserved for us. And I think there's some things here that we can take home and especially use to pray for our nation. And, I'm burdened for our nation. If I wasn't burdened for our nation, I wouldn't be traveling on deputation preparing to plant a church in our own nation. And I see what takes place throughout the world around us. And I see what takes personally within our own churches. And I see what takes personally within my own life. And there's some great needs that need to be addressed. But I think Solomon wraps it all up in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. The Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. See, there are many things that we might talk about that our nation needs. We might say we need to re-elect President Trump. We might say we need this kind of program instituted throughout our nation. We might say we need to overturn Wade versus Roe, or Roe versus Wade, and see abortion finished in this country. We might say we need to see prayer back in our public schools. We might give a host of things that our nation needs, but our nation really doesn't need new programs and new ideas. What our nation needs is righteousness. See, there was a time in the history of our nation. I love history. I love reading about the Civil War early period, 1800s. I love reading about the Revolutionary period, the Colonial period. And you want to know what makes this nation different than any other nation in the world. Not even Israel can claim this. Our nation was founded because the people themselves wanted a nation where they could worship God freely. See, God chose the nation of Israel, and he chose to work with them. But America is not God's chosen people. But America is very unique because there were people who were righteous. They were godly. They were saved. And maybe they didn't all believe the way we would believe. But they were godly people overall, and they wanted the freedom to worship God as they saw the Bible teaching. And because of that desire, that thirst for that freedom, they sacrificed. Many died along the way. They toiled in ways that none of us could even imagine. Coming on ships across from Europe, coming here to a new world, founding a new country, and in the struggles in a new world, learning to farm. Even something as simple as planting a garden in a new world would have been a very different, a very unique experience for them. But it was worth it because they were righteous people. And they wanted to serve the Lord. And look at the results of that righteousness. That righteousness produced a democratic government, a republic, I should say. Not just a democratic government, but a republic. And the difference is a republic is a freedom within the bounds of law. That's the definition of a republic. And what bounds were they thinking of when they formed our government? The bounds of the Word of God. Not of a man's desire, which most nations are governed because one man has an army and his desire rules. Our government was originally founded upon the principles of the Word of God. No other nation can claim that. And because of that, that righteousness exalted this nation to a great point in the area of our government. But not only that, because of the righteousness that our founding fathers stood for, and because of the freedom that took place within this country, the Lord was able to use the righteousness of this country to send forth, I don't know how many thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of missionaries throughout the world. It all started with Adoniram Judson in the early 1800s, and it has continued ever since. And if you look at the history, how many missionaries went forth in the late 1800s and in the early 1900s, and even since then, there has been a great missionary movement that has taken place within this country and sending forth missionaries around the world. There are going to be probably millions of people in heaven because of the righteousness that this nation, America, was founded upon. And it is not because someone had a very good political idea. It is not because someone said, let's do a lot of good things and we'll get a lot of good blessings because of it. No, it's because it started with personal righteousness on a personal level. Individual people saying, I am going to do what is right because the Bible teaches it. And it doesn't matter what trial I ever may face. It doesn't matter what king or what army may tell me, no, I'm going to obey the Word of God. And that righteousness spilled over and it affected every aspect of this nation in its inception. But there's a negative aspect to this verse also. It says that sin is a reproach to any people. And what has taken place in this nation, and we are all seeing the effects of this today, what is taking place is a reverse effect. Sin, people are choosing to lead lives of sin, and that is spilling over and negatively affecting every single aspect of our lives. Because of personal sin, we might blame the government for a lot of the problems in our nation, but you know, it's not the government's problems. This is a government of the people. by the people, for the people. And even no matter how bad our politicians might be, it is still the people's rule that is governing. Politicians are wicked because people are wicked. You can't shift the blame. We can't shift the blame. Sin has been creeping into this nation, and it's no longer creeping. It is abounding and taking... I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. But because of sin, personal sin in this nation, it has affected our government. It has affected the economy and the business world. You can't trust people to be honest anymore. There might have been a time you could trust people to be honest. You can't even trust people to be honest anymore in the business world. Sin has affected the missionary outreach of this nation. If you look at the statistics, you will find that there are not as many missionaries going out to foreign fields today as there were 10 years ago. And there's not as many missionaries going out 10 years ago as there were 20 years ago. And there's been a decrease. And another thing that I've been told very often by other church planters is, I want to plant a church. And that's my goal. But the statistics say that for every church that is planted, there are at least four churches that close. And this is within Baptist circles. Why is that happening? It's because righteousness is not prevailing in this nation. Instead, sin is prevailing. And that sin is causing a reproach upon this nation. And our nation is just going to keep going further and further and further down that path. So, what is the answer for all that? The answer is not to totally get rid of the government and replace it. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that the answer is not to make abortion illegal, because it's a waste of time to make abortion illegal if people's hearts are not for it. It's a waste of time to teach a society to be good and not teach a society to be righteous. It's not good enough to be good. There's going to be a lot of good people that are going to be in hell one day. Why? Because they trusted in their good works to get them to heaven. You have to see yourself as a sinner and receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ to receive the free gift of eternal life. So what is the answer for our nation, this nation that we love, the history and the heritage that we appreciate so much? The answer is the same. The answer is people who are willing to sacrifice. People who are willing to give up everything in order to worship God in a righteous, holy way, according as this Bible teaches. Think about the sacrifices that it took to sacrifice, to give up a home in Europe, to give up maybe property in Europe, to give up everything you had materially, to go on a long journey which was very dangerous, storms at sea, you might not even make it, and then to land in a new world and have to start all over, giving everything up and needing to start all over once again and try to make a new life. I think we need some people, some Christians, some churches who are willing to do the same thing again. Willing to sacrifice everything they have in order to be godly. In order to be righteous. Showing that example and that testimony to the world around us. And if I may tie in what we heard earlier this week, being that shiny bright light bulb, being willing to give up any kind of dirt that the world might want to tag along, being willing to sacrifice the pleasures of this world. Moses sacrificed the pleasures of this world, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with God's people because that was a walk of faith. That was far more valuable in God's eyes. We've got to personalize the righteousness that is talked about here in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness will exalt this nation. Not a new president, not a conservative agenda, not a new political plan. Righteousness, and only righteousness, will exalt this nation. And so as we pray tonight, I challenge you, pray that you would be a righteous person. Pray that I would be a righteous person. Pray that people would get saved in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, and in Enumclaw, Washington, so that they too may be righteous. And pray that our churches, pray that this church and the churches that Brother Brubaker and myself will be starting, pray that these will be righteous, God-fearing churches who will be dedicated to doing what's right according to the teachings of this book. And pray that through the righteousness of individuals and through the righteousness of churches, it will spill over and have a great effect on the world around us. That's what our nation needs. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We're going to have one or the other. So let's pray, ask God for his help, so that we may be righteous.
Take your Bibles with me and turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. I thought it was interesting as I was listening to Brother Adam how we were ending up at the same place but from different scriptures. And that's probably because we as Christians all need to be reminded of the same thing. We're humans. We tend to get away from God and our relationship with God. And tonight, in this time of being reminded about prayer and prayer for our nation and what our nation needs to see God work, I want to look briefly at the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. In verse 1 it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he should accomplish the 70 weeks in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confessions and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned." We'll stop there for now. Now, I understand that this is Daniel and Israel and God speaking here specifically about Daniel and Israel were in captivity. They were away from Jerusalem. And Daniel is understanding here from the scriptures that God is about to do a work and begin to bring them back into the land. Now, America is not Israel, but I'd like to draw some parallels from the way Daniel prayed and the things that he understood about him, about his country, about the God-fearing people in Israel, and how we as Christians, we as a church, how our relationship to God should be. The first thing that I see here in this beginning of Daniel's prayer is he prayed personally. The first thing we need to have is prayer for ourselves. And Brother Adam talked to this briefly. If our relationship with God is not right, if we have sin between us and God, there's almost no point in praying for our country and for the world around us. We're not the kind of testimony we need to be. Our relationship with God is not right. Look at verse 4, and it says, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God," and it says, "and made my confessions." It goes on in that verse. I believe Daniel took time to confess his own sin to God. As he was studying the books of Jeremiah and understanding what God was doing, we know Daniel was a man of God. But he was reading the scriptures here and understanding what God was doing. and that God was getting ready to do a mighty work in the nation of Israel, he realized that he needed to be right with God. And until we individually understand that we need to get the sin out of our lives, we need to remove those things that God says should not be there, we're not going to see a revival in our country. Revival needs to start with us. The second thing that I see here is he prayed for his fellow Christians. As we go to prayer here in a few minutes, consider praying for your fellow Christians in this church. Consider praying for the fellow Christians in the central Pennsylvania area, in Washington State, those that are already there. Both of us would say that in the extended areas of our ministry, there are good gospel preaching churches, that there are Christians there. And I think the prayer for both of us would be that we unite quickly with some God-fearing Christians in our local towns that we're going to as we both plant churches. Pray for that as you go to prayer today. Prayer for fellow Christians. Look at verse 5. He says, and Daniel says in his prayer, "We have sinned. We have sinned." It is so easy for Christians to go away from God, to have sin in our lives. And we as a body of believers need to be praying for each other. Before we can pray and seek God's face, we must have a clean heart, both individually and corporately. Bear that in mind. And then, of course, we need to pray for the unsaved. Pray for the unsaved. And as Daniel goes through his prayer here in different things, look at verse 6. He says, "Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and to our fathers and to all the people of the land." He goes on here and says, look, there were prophets and servants of God that preached before us, and our fathers and our neighbors didn't listen to. But he was praying for them. He was praying for those people that they would come back to God. The final purpose of this prayer is he's praying to God for his people. Look down at verse 19. This kind of sums up, I think, each portion of these different aspects of prayer. In verse 19, it says, "O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, and O Lord, hearken." The first thing I see there is, "O Lord, hear," is that's the prayer for the individual. Lord, hear me. I want to see you today. I want to understand you. I want my relationship to be right with you. Listen to my prayer. And then he says, "O Lord, forgive." As a Christian body, we have disgraced you. Forgive us for that sin. That can be both personal and as a church. And then, "O Lord, hearken," the prayer for the lost around us, whether it's outside these walls, whether it's in Hamburger or Enumclaw, Washington. You've heard the verse before, 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." It all starts with our personal relationship with God. When we go to prayer here in a few minutes, make sure you are right with God. And if everyone in this room does that, imagine what God can do. All these people praying to God for the requests of people being saved around the world, in our nation, in Pennsylvania, and in Washington. Verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, and O Lord, hearken. Brother Sean.